Chapter 6. The Manipulation Television. The fourth way the global media is controlling the narrative to control our minds is with television. You see, newspapers, radio, music, books and the whole education system are not the only subliminal manipulative technologies that are being used on us on a global basis by a small group of aliens, I mean rich elites around the world. Believe it or not, the whole television industry is as well. It too is out there on a massive scale, swaying our minds subconsciously, telling us to buy and consume and even instruct our minds to go back to sleep, never question authority, obey and believe whatever these the rich elitists want us to believe, including the need to scoff at the things of God. In fact, it's one of their biggest and most powerful tools to get their manipulative job done, as we saw in the first two sections of our study dealing with the ongoing subliminal technology that's still being used on us today. However, believe it or not, that's the tip of the iceberg when it comes to television subliminal influence. So again, let's keep those glasses on and see how this next media called television really is being used to television, all right, for these aliens, I mean rich elites, in order to further manipulate the minds of the masses on a huge global scale. And again, just like we saw with the other manipulative technologies, so it is with this manipulation called television. Its subversive abilities have been going on for quite some time now, whether people realized it or not. You see, you thought TV was just for entertainment or even possibly education purposes. Not at all. It's for manipulation and indoctrination on a scale most people have a hard time believing. In fact, let's see how this subliminal technology began.
The evolution of television. Narrator: In 100 years, the TV has taken many shapes and sizes. Here's the evolution of the television from the 1920s to today. The 1920s gave us the mechanical television. The first model had a small display on the right in a huge cabinet. These first TVs were very simple in comparison to our technology today. They implemented peculiar shapes such as the octagon television. Although the technology was impressive, the video quality was not. Facial features were not recognizable unless makeup was worn in a specific way. In the 1930s, we saw more refined televisions with better designs and resolution. This decade saw a giant leap in video quality. From 100 scan lines at the start of the decade to 405. The 1940s brought us even higher resolutions, including the NTSC standard of 480 lines of resolution and better audio. In the 1940s, it was difficult to produce CRT screens larger than 12 inches. So big screen TVs implemented projection techniques. The 1950s brought us the short-lived porthole televisions, but most importantly it brought us the NTSC color standard, but not many color televisions were sold until the following decade. The sales of color TVs boomed in the 60s. They were now more affordable and the colors more vivid. The 1970s brought TV designs for every taste and need. There was the upgradable television with easily accessible circuit boards. The futuristic televisions which implemented curvy design patterns. The colorful TVs that looked more like toys and the portable combos which normally included radios and cassette decks. The 1980s was the end of TV as furniture era. These were replaced with color projection TVs with larger screens and minimalist cabinets. The Space Command was one of those color projection TVs. The 1980s gave way to the first LCD TVs. They were tiny and pixelated, but it was a huge step forward. These portable TVs were a lot more affordable and included additional functions. This decade was all about Sony's Trinitron technology. As Sony's patent had run out, all competitors were free to use the technology. Combos became really popular in the 1990s. They included FM radio and VCR. In the 1990s, Casio continued to improve their portable LCD TVs. A preview of one of the biggest techs of the following decade was introduced at the end of the 1990s. The flat HDTV priced around $7,000. Throughout the 2000s, CRT TVs were still very popular, as they were inexpensive and could access HD channels using a converter box. During this decade, LCD tech was finally able to compete with plasma, giving us LCD HD TVs. Then LED TVs arrived, which were superior to both. A few brands experimented with ambient lighting to make the TVs more immersive. Through the decade, HDTVs became pretty smart. They were able to display content from your computer as well as to connect to different services on the internet. We started in 2010 with the best combination of tech money could buy, 4K, LED and 3D, which had all just been introduced. Curved screens became the premium feature for a few years. It was meant to reduce glare and improve immersion by taking advantage of our peripheral vision. This works well for computer monitors, but it is barely noticeable on TVs. Something truly impressive was the introduction of wallpaper TVs. These are almost as thin as a credit card. The latest feature is ambient mode, which lets you match your TV to your decor. It allows you to display your TV as art or to match your wallpaper. 2020 promises many new technologies, such as the rollable TV. It is completely hidden when it's off, and when it's on, it grows to the size of the content or application. This is great for calendar and music apps and avoids the black bars and extra wide movies. This is another discrete TV technology, but it will likely be used more for decoration and art than for entertainment. The double-sided TV will be great for gaming and for commercial applications. Tech is changing really fast, and so are our TVs. What do you think is next for the evolution of television?
Well, believe it or not, it's going to skip the screen altogether and go straight into your brain. And if you don't believe me, hold on a second and I'll show you that reality is already here as well. But as you can see, with the advances of television over the past 100 years or so, it has not only become a major media staple to mold our minds and allow us to receive information in general. But just like newspapers, radio, music, and the education system, once this manipulative technology called television sprang into existence, it too began to spread across the whole planet. That is why today, we have an estimated 28,000 television stations around the world via cable and satellite signals, allowing the broadcasting of all kinds of manipulative messages into the minds of the masses on a global scale. In fact, even in recent years, television is now morphing into app-based streaming technology via the worldwide internet, where you can customize your own manipulative inputs and get just about any kind of TV channel you could ever think of, or want, on just about any kind of topic anywhere in the world. Another fantastic leap forward of manipulative media technology if you want to connect the world and mesmerize the minds of the masses for some nefarious purpose. I wonder who and what that might be. It rhymes with the elites again, for those of you wondering. And speaking of aliens, I mean rich elites, for those of you who are still wondering about my earlier statement about how they are going to skip the whole television screen altogether and go straight into your brain, let's go ahead and expose that, shall we? Believe it or not, they have not only figured out a way to mesmerize the minds of the masses when we are awake with all the various forms of media, with newspapers, radio, music, books, the education system, and now even TV, but they have also figured out a way to get that manipulative broadcast straight into your mind with a microchip implant, which will then allow them to dictate your dreams while you sleep. Don't believe me?
Julia Seeger, France 24 reports. Can we trust our own brains, and what can our dreams teach us? Here is Moran Cerf, a neuroscientist from Northwestern University. Thank you for being with us today. Is it possible to hack a human brain, and is it as easy as hacking into a computer? Moran Cerf, neuroscience professor, Northwestern University. It's actually possibly easier. The idea is, we are now starting to understand how you can influence a person to change their mind and behave a certain way. Many companies are interested in that because this tackles the very idea of free will. Where Amazon can not only know what you want, but they can actually start offering something that you didn't know that you want. Because they know you better than yourself. That is where they are heading, into your world, where your brain is actually in the outside world behind your back. Julia Seeger. Now you have also studied dreams quite a bit. Can deciphering their meaning be a key to our brain? Moran Cerf. Yes, they have been fascinated with people's dreams for a millennia. We always thought that they meant something. If you don't believe me, you can just try to tell your husband or your boyfriend in the morning that you dreamed of your ex-boyfriend and see how they respond. They think things mean something, whether they do or they don't. Now, for the first time in history, we can access it so we can understand it. Up until now, with the days of Freud and all of those, they had to ask for you to tell us your dream for them and believe this is the story, but what we are learning right now is that we can actually get access to your dreams using neuroscience, while you are sleeping, to understand what they are telling us. They can tell us something about who you are, what you want, what you think about the future, what you want to do next, how you think about all kinds of possibilities. With this, we can get to understand you better, it can actually control the world around you better, and we can even start to manipulate your dreams by creating dreams for you. So, you can go to sleep and dream what I set up for you. Maybe a filmmaker like Steven Spielberg can make dreams for people and so on, and at the very least you can go to sleep after a nice evening and continue the evening in your sleep. Companies like Netflix, Hulu, YouTube or Tech24 can put content in, generally it's like virtual reality that our brain creates for us.
Or should we say, one that the elites create for us? And you thought I was kidding when I said they've skipped the whole television screen altogether and went straight into the brain. Yeah, I wish I was making it up too, but as you saw, it's unfortunately and shockingly true. But talk about total manipulation on a level never before dreamed of, pun intended. Imagine tricking the whole planet into getting a microchip implant in your head to do all this, to watch TV in your brain and get streamed dreams, let alone any other kind of media input from these elites. I mean, what are they going to call this new manipulative service, Dreamflix? But if you haven't already caught on, this is all starting to sound like another movie out there called The Matrix. Do you remember the scene that exposed the fake-generated reality that the whole planet was under, produced by a ruling elite, showing how people were being used for a nefarious purpose? Let's look at that again.
A clip from The Matrix. The scene opens with a large bag of liquid. There are gurgling sounds coming from the bag, and there are black wire running through the liquid. Something inside is moving around when suddenly a hand reaches out. As it extends further, a form of a human bursts out of the lining of the bag. A full-grown human is gasping for breath. He immediately starts grabbing hold of the wires and disconnects them from his body. He seems to be having trouble breathing when he reaches for the cord that is connecting his head to the machine. He starts to pull it loose when he sees that there are several other pods, just like his, with people in them as well. But then, as he stands to look over the edge of his pod, he looks up and down and realizes there are thousands, maybe millions of these pods all lined up in layers on towers. Suddenly a voice calls out, "Welcome to the real world."
Yeah, the real world that only those who have the right set of glasses on, or in this case, who take the red pill and can see manipulative illusion, or the fake world that these aliens, I mean rich elites, have created for us to enslave and control us for their nefarious purposes. As you can see, with the technology, including television, they're already out there promoting a chip in the brain to create a matrix-type reality for us. Through television, they're not only getting us to go along with it, but again, to actually get us to think it's a good thing for us. Anyone starting to see a pattern again here? And as far as people actually getting a microchip in their brain so an elite can mesmerize the minds of the masses on a global scale for their nefarious evil purposes, we already know that's exactly what's going to happen to the planet in the last days. Here's yet another warning from God, it's getting close.
Revelation 13:16-17. He also forced everyone, small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on his right hand or on his forehead, so that no one could buy or sell unless he had the mark, which is the name of the beast or the number of his name.
Good thing we don't see any signs of people getting some sort of mark in their hands or heads to buy and sell, including buying television streaming or dreaming content. As crazy and wild as that sounds, it's already here, as you just saw. It's almost like somebody's following a script or something, and God knows the future and he's trying to warn us of it. But as you can see, it's common sense. Television has become a very important tool to share information, educate, or even mold the minds of people either for good or bad. Therefore, once again, whoever controls the media of television, in all its various forms, has yet another powerful tool to manipulate the minds of the masses around the planet. And believe it or not, that control of the media of television on a global scale is already here. Just like with newspapers, radio, music, books, the education system, so even television is now in the hands of just a few aliens, I mean rich elites. In fact, they're not even hiding it either. Are you ready for this? Talk about a pattern. They call themselves, wait for it, the Big Five. Just like the books and textbooks, isn't that wild? But here they are, owning all the television outlets. Watch this.
ESPN, Vice, and the History Channel, what do these three media outlets have in common? Despite their different target audiences, they are all owned by the same company, Disney. What about these three? SAFA, Focus Features, and NBC? Same story, they are all owned by Comcast. If you were to pick a bunch of media operations from a hat, odds are that a vast majority of them are owned and operated by one of five mega corporations. Since the early 1980s, the number of media companies controlling the bulk of US media have run from 50 to just 5. We have gone from a media landscape operated by a reasonable number of controlling interests to a reality dominated by mere monopolies, just barely sneaking under the enforcement of antitrust laws. In this episode, we're going to talk about the consolidation of American media in the hands of a few ultra-powerful companies. And what that means in a time when the very wealthy have outside influence over public policy. Before we begin, it's worth noting that corporate deals, acquisitions, and mergers happen all the time, often with little to no coverage. It's quite possible that by the time you watch this video, some of these data points will have changed. But unless something truly cataclysmic happens, the vast majority of US media will still be under the thumb of one or more of the five super corporations we're about to discuss. So, without further ado, let's meet the Big Five. Comcast, Disney, National Amusements, News Corporation and Atlant, taking the spot from Time Warner, which it acquired in 2018 for $109 billion. You probably guessed that Disney was on the list since they've had some seriously high-profile acquisitions in recent years, most notably Marvel and Lucasfilm. But I'd be surprised if you've ever heard of National Amusements or News Corporation. These incredibly bland names and their lack of public-facing operations are intentional. Why draw attention to yourself as one of a tiny number of corporate behemoths when people only care about a select few of your properties? Whether you are watching CBS News, scrolling through GameSpot, or reading a book published by Simon & Schuster, you're padding the enormous wallet of National Amusements. And you'd never suspect that these three very different operations are run by the same company. The same goes for News Corporation. They own National Geographic, Fox News, and HarperCollins. Altogether, the Big Five are worth over $400 billion, controlling something like 90% of all US media, including news networks, Hollywood movie studios and print publications, and they reach nearly 100% of all US households. And, fun fact, much of the remaining 10% is owned by only slightly less giant multi-billion dollar corporations, like Sinclair, which, as you may remember, got itself into hot water by blasting out a propaganda broadcast over hundreds of local US news channels. So how exactly are they allowed to do this? Surely having just five companies dominate the nation's media is considered monopolizing, right? Well, no, but just barely. Let's look at what it takes to be considered a monopoly. In order to be considered a pure monopoly, a single company has to have complete control over a market containing a goods or services with no close substitutes. So, there you go. Since there are five large corporations that share the US media market, none of them qualify as a monopoly. But you don't have to be classified as a pure monopoly in order to wield monopolistic power. With such a massive concentration of wealth and power in the hands of so few, it all but ensures that smaller operations never have the chance to succeed, unless you count the very American concept of success, which is building a company just large enough to get bought out by one of the big players. What we see in the US media landscape is more of an oligopoly. Complete control spread across just a handful of powerful groups. There's so much interplay and deal-making within these five megacorporations that in effect they are a monopoly in every sense but the legal one. For example, it is not uncommon to see one of the Big Five hold a massive stake in a property owned by another of the Big Five. But if there were so many or media corporations as recently as the 1980s, how did we get to the dystopian all-powerful corporate landscape we see today? To make a long story short, it all boils down to the passing of the 1996 Telecommunications Act. This piece of legislation was supposedly intended to deregulate the increasingly tangled broadcast and telecommunications markets, allowing anyone to enter and compete in the industry. Whatever the intended result was, the actual outcome was simply the rapid consolidation of power in the hands of fewer and fewer massive corporations. In the 2003 edition of the Howard Zinn's A People's History of the United States, he notes, The Telecommunications Act of 1996 enabled the handful of corporations dominating the airwaves to expand their power further.
Mergers enabled tighter control of information. He was right, and it only got worse.
The decade before the Telecommunications Act, 50 companies controlled the majority of the media landscape. By 1992, that number had fallen by 50%. After the passage of the new TV and broadcast legislation, the number quickly shrank even further to just 6 in the year 2000, and that's roughly where it stayed to this day. Not because these giant companies wouldn't love to own more of the market, but because they physically can't without triggering antitrust lawsuits. To put into perspective just how much of the market the Big Five control, let's have a look at some of the media operations they own.
We'll start with news corporation Rupert Murdoch's empire owns Fox, including all of its branches like Fox Sports and 20th Century Fox.
It owns FX, GQ, The Wall Street Journal, Sky News, HarperCollins Publishing, The New York Post, National Geographic, Zondervan, Market Watch, and countless others. National Amusements owns CBS and its branches. It owns Paramount, Nickelodeon, MTV, VET, GameSpot, VH1, Comedy Central, The Smithsonian Channel, Spike, Showtime, Simon, and Schuster, Game FAQs, CNET, and Viacom, once a major player in the media world itself before being consumed. Attant, the newest member of the Big Five after acquiring the massive Time Warner controls CNN, HBO, Cartoon Network, Warner Brothers DC Comics, TBS, True TV, Cinemax, TNT, Adult Swim, part of Hulu, Turner Classic Movies, Time Magazine, Rocksteady Games, and Time Warner Cable, to name just a few. Comcast, which has a well-deserved reputation as a thoroughly evil corporation, owns NBC, MSNBC, USA Network, Sapphire, Fandango, Universal Pictures, Focus Features, Working Title Films, Rotten Tomatoes, Bravo, Oxygen, Big Idea, part of Hulu, MLB Network, NHL Network, and dozens of internet ventures. And finally, everyone's favorite family-friendly corporate overlord, Disney. Disney owns Disney, ABC Pixar, DreamWorks, ESPN, Lifetime, The History Channel, Marvel, Lucasfilm, Hollywood Records, Touchstone Pictures, Vice, plus a giant swath of the comic book industry thanks to their acquisition of Marvel. And of course, these are only a small sample of the media operations owned by the Big Five. Odds are, if you can think of a network you watch, you'll find it's owned by one of them.
The one main exception you may have noticed is Netflix.
Netflix, while not outright owned by any of the Big Five, is owned in part by a number of large interests. Some of them very shady, like the well-known BlackRock, the world's largest shadow bank. So really, no matter what your network preferences, you're only being offered the illusion of choice. In reality, almost everything we watch or read, whether on TV, online, in theaters, or on the pages of a book, newspaper, or magazine, is just a tentacle of the enormous kraken that is the corporate media landscape.
No matter what perspective these outlets offer, remember that they're all owned by the ultra-wealthy business interest, and they have their own agenda.
The Big Five own all the major news networks, and the messages they put out are designed to reinforce the status quo. Peddling minor aesthetic disagreements and diverting attention away from serious societal problems.
This is simply the natural conclusion of the hyper-capitalist system we have in the United States.
Powerful companies will grow larger and larger, consuming smaller companies that can't compete, acquiring more and more properties until they've reached the very limit of what could be considered legal, thereby dodging antitrust laws and maintaining the maximum amount of power, profit, and cultural significance.
This is only one area of the American market.
Every other aspect of American life is becoming similarly consolidated, from pharmaceuticals to energy to manufacturing. The threat of the monopolization of every area of modern life is real, and its consequences could be disastrous and far-reaching, except for those pulling the strings at the very top.
Who happen to be the aliens, rich elites we've been talking about, who have literally created a total media matrix for us around the planet, whether we realized it or not, or want it or not, for their own nefarious purposes. And did you see, these same Big Five also own many of the other global media outlets we've already covered, including newspapers, magazines, radio, music, and books, just to name a few? Do you think that's by chance? Not on your life. In fact, if you still don't think these elites are using their global ownership of virtually all media outlets, including television, for their own evil manipulative purposes to regurgitate a pre-programmed, pre-scripted narrative for us to digest from them. Let's watch that Sinclair broadcast he was talking about. You know, the one that let the cat out of the bag that showed how we are not really getting the real news and real facts from these news outlets, but rather a pre-programmed, pre-scripted managed news broadcast. The proof is shown here.
Fox 29 News reports, "Hi. I'm Fox and Antonio's Jessica Headley. And I'm Ryan Wolf. As you are listening to what the first newscasters are saying, you hear voices in the background. Several newscasters are speaking over each other with the same message. KATU2 ABC reports, our greatest responsibility is. NBC2 News, is to serve our Treasure Valley communities the. For news, the Old Paso Las Cruces communities. Eastern Iowa communities. Mid-Michigan communities. CBS4 News, we are extremely proud of the quality, balanced journalism that CBS4 News produces, but. Now there are 9 different news stations that on the screen stating the same message. All talking over each other and saying the same thing. Eyewitness news, plaguing our country. The sharing of biased and false news has become all too common on social media, more alarming some media outlets that publish the same fake stories without checking facts first. While this newscaster is speaking, it is also being said on several other stations at the same time. And the same words. The sharing of biased and false news has become common. Unfortunately, some media push their own personal bias to control exactly what you hear, and this is extremely dangerous to our democracy. Fox 29, this is extremely dangerous to our democracy. KATU2 ABC News, this is extremely dangerous to our democracy. KATV7 News, this is extremely dangerous to our democracy. Autria Godfrey, ABC7 News, this is extremely dangerous to our democracy. Local 12, this is extremely dangerous to our democracy. NBC6, this is extremely dangerous to our democracy. ABC13, this is extremely dangerous to our democracy. Fox 11, this is extremely dangerous to our democracy. NBC4, this is extremely dangerous to our democracy. As you can see, the same message is being repeated over and over on all the news channels.
Yeah, I would agree. Can you believe that? All pre-scripted programming. And you wonder why they call these broadcasts for us to watch programs. I think it's obvious. They exist to program our minds and mesmerize the masses. And I know all this is a tough cookie to swallow, but as you can see, if you keep your glasses on, that is, we only hear and see what these elite-owned corporations, including those who own television and news stations all over the world, want us to see and hear. It's all fake. It's totally generated. It's simply a real live media matrix created for our brains to be manipulated for their own nefarious purposes. Including the silencing of any dissenting opinion by people exercising their God-given rights to freedom of speech. That truth came out in the last election cycle when it was shown that these big five-owned television outlets were refusing any narrative than what they wanted us to see or hear, even from so-called conservative news outlets. Remember this censorship?
Fox News cut away from a new conference held by Kayleigh McEnany. The host explained there was no evidence to back up her explosive charge about election fraud. Kayleigh McEnany, White House press secretary, "This election is not over, far from it." Fox News, this is Kayleigh McEnany right now spelling out the Republican committee's plan to fight what has been going on in some states, notably Pennsylvania, with the vote count. Kayleigh McEnany, "We want every legal vote to be counted, and we want every illegal vote." Fox News, "We have to be very clear that she is charging the other side of welcoming fraud and of making illegal voting, and unless she has more details to back that up, I can't in good countenance keep showing you this. I want to make sure that maybe they do have something to back that up, but that is an explosive charge to make, that the other side is effectively rigging and cheating. If she does bring proof of that, we will of course bring you that." American Agenda, thank you Mike Lindell so much for joining us. So, what happened to your Twitter account and the company page, Mike Lindell? Well, mine was taken down because we have all the election fraud with the voting machines, we have 100% proof, and then when they took it down. As he is trying to answer the question, he is talked over by the interviewer, and he can't complete the interview. American Agenda, second interviewer, Mike, You're talking about machines that Newsmax has not been about to verify any of those kinds of allegations. We just want people to know that there is nothing or substance there. Let me read you something. Meanwhile, Mike is trying to talk, but they have turned down the volume on his microphone so you can't make out what he is saying, still trying to answer the question. American Agenda: while there were some clear evidences of some cases of vote fraud and irregularities, the election results in every state were certified and Newsmax accepts the results as legal and final, and the courts also supported that view. So, we wanted to talk to you about canceling culture, if you will. We don't want to relitigate the point that you are making. We understand where you are. So let me ask you this. Do you think this should be temporary? It appears to be permanent. Could you make the argument that it is temporary? Mike Lindell: what? He could not hear the questions due to the interviewer talking over him as he was answering the first question. American Agenda: do you think this could be a temporary banning rather than permanent? Mike Lindell: they want it to be permanent because you know why? Because I am revealing all the evidence on Friday of all the election fraud of these machines. And I'm sorry. Again, he is interrupted so he cannot answer the question. American Agenda: can I ask our producers if we can get out of here, please? I don't want to have to keep going over this. We have not been about to verify any of those allegations. He gets up and leaves the interview. American Agenda: first interviewer, Mike, let's talk a little bit about.
But you don't get to talk about what you want to talk about. As you saw, they'll either cut the feed or walk off the set after endless interruptions and changing the subject. Whatever happened to free speech? Even if the guy's wrong, let them finish, will you? What's the big deal? Are you trying to control the narrative of what people receive from television outlets to the point where you actually cut the feed and silence any dissenting view? That's not news reporting, that's news determination. It's indoctrination again, folks. That's all it is, just like the other forms of media. It's all the same exact pattern. Even on so-called conservative news outlets. How much more proof do we need to see that these aliens, I mean rich elites, really are controlling all media, including the news and television stations, and we're only getting what these big five corporations want us to have, that is, their pre-programmed narrative that promotes their own nefarious agenda, not the truth? I'll say it again, it's a media matrix created for us. We live in a world of illusion and manipulation. And as bad as that is, it's about to get even worse. As gut-wrenching as what we've seen so far concerning the manipulation of television by these aliens, I mean rich elites, believe it or not, these same big five entities are not only controlling all the television content around the whole world as you just saw, but they are actually using it to subliminally manipulate us with a format that's purposely addictive so we never cut the feed off from their daily programming of our minds. If you don't believe me, here's some of that proof. Even as far back former President Calvin Coolidge, he admitted concerning the advertising industry, which is a big part of the television industry.
It is the most potent influence in adapting and changing the habits and modes of life, affecting what we eat, what we wear, and the work and play of the whole nation.
Furthermore, a New York Times Magazine article reported way back in 1966 that
TV is not an art form or a cultural channel, it is an advertising medium. It seems a bit churlish and un-American of people who watch television to complain that their shows are lousy. They are not supposed to be any good. They are supposed to make money.
You know, for the elites as well as to be used to brainwash us with their prepackaged programming and controlled narrative to get us to go along with their nefarious agenda. But again, it's not just there for the watching or viewing. It's presented to us in a technological manner that's very addicting. This is why we just can't shut it off. Don't believe me? Let's begin to expose that reality. First of all, do you ever wonder why television and movies in general are becoming more and more vulgar and obscene every single year? Well, it's merely the logical outcome of a society that's become what I call entertainment junkies. This is what the aliens, I mean rich elites, have created us to be. You see, a junkie needs an ever-increasing amount of drugs or stimuli in order to get their daily fix. This is because they eventually build up a tolerance level, and so if they want to get that same high, then they must increase the stimuli. And so, it is with television. These elites know that they've already created a society of entertainment junkies, and in order to keep us glued to the screen and not shut off the daily programming of our minds, they have to provide us with an ever-increasing number of stimuli from television's both audio and visual inputs. This is why they are dishing out more and more vulgarity and obscenity to shock us into an emotional high or response in order to give us that entertainment fix. Television is simply a global drug problem. And so just like a junkie who becomes immune to the effects of drugs over time, we too, the viewers, have become desensitized to the shocking effects and things on TV, and so consequently we need more and more stimuli in bigger quantities with even more shocking content if we're going to be entertained and glued to the screen. Now, as conspiratorial and wild as that sounds, observe some of the following facts from these media experts.
A junkie is consumed with his fix. Daily home usage of television, 6 hours 59 minutes per day. With TV sets turned on in the inner city for 11 hours a day and multiplying satellite, cable, and broadcast channels, television has become the closest and the most constant companion for American children. It has become the nation's mom and pop, storyteller, babysitter, preacher, and teacher. Our children watch an astonishing 5,000 hours by the first grade and 19,000 hours by the end of high school, more time than they spend in class. A junkie becomes addicted to his fix. Once people are exposed to the spectacle of blood and sex, they want more and more as they become hardened to the titillation of the last violent or sexual act they see. Just as a drug addict who becomes less and less responsive to a drug keeps looking for the initial ideal rush, so those who are addicted to the sex and violence in films seek increasing doses of sex and violence to appease their lust. Watching fighting or other violence can make the mind believe that it is about to engage in life-threatening activity. The body will often respond by releasing adrenal epinephrine into the bloodstream, giving the viewer an adrenal rush without the threat of actual violence. Watching sexual activity and nudity makes the mind think that the person is about to mate, so the body releases raging hormones that can often cause an addictive adrenal rush without the psychological burdens attendant to most human relationships. The physiological phenomena will engage and attract the viewer, often causing him or her to want more and more exposure to the stimuli that cause the artificial physical elation. A junkie will destroy his mind for his fix. Movies are one of the bad habits that corrupted our century. Of their many sins, I offer as the worst their effect on the intellectual side of the nation. It is chiefly from that viewpoint that I write of them, as an eruption of trash that has lamed the American mind and retarded Americans from becoming a cultured people. And because of television's insidious flicker, every 4 seconds, on the average, the picture changes, television does not promote long-term attention. Lastly, because the action shifts constantly and capriciously backward, forward, and laterally in time, television does not promote logical sequential thinking. A junkie will eventually kill himself with his fix. The point of this litany of problems with respect to different media and arts is simply to point out that there is no place to hide. The media and the arts are pervasive in our society. Americans are in the midst of entertaining themselves to death. Either denial or license will only allow the problems to continue to grow out of control. We often forget that there is a war raging around us. It is a war being waged inside our minds, a spiritual war for our souls. The adversary is using every possible tactic to control our minds: materialism, secularism, humanism, and all the other isms that conflict with Christianity. He is using the most effective weapons to win: the power of the mass media of entertainment. With the corrupted movies and television programs of our age, the adversary is fueling our sinful propensity to lust and hooking us on our desires. Once hooked, he drags us down to hell.
And this is precisely why, once you start to watch it, you just can't seem to shut it off. The elites have got you hooked on their TV programming, as this video shows.
Television. Look at me. Look at me. Look at me. Look at me. No, don't look over there. There's nothing over there. Look at me. Look at me. Look at me. Are you looking at me? Is everybody looking at me? Do I have everyone's attention? Don't get the wrong idea. I'm not trying to take over your life. You need what? What do you need? You need what? You need to go to the bathroom? Fine, get up, go to the bathroom, come back, look at me. You need what? You need to get something to eat? Fine. Get up, go to the kitchen, get something to eat. Come back and look at me. You need to what? Get some sleep? Fine. Get up, go to bed, get some sleep, come back and look at me. So, we have an agreement? You will do what you absolutely have to do, and when you are done, you will come back and look at me. Don't worry about your schedule. I am here for you. I am here for you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. I am here for you. I am here for you. You need me. I am here fair and foul, thick and thin. I am here for you. I am here for you. People try and tell you I am bad. You tell them I am here for you, 24 hours a day, fair and foul, thick and thin. I am here for you. I am here for you. People try and tell you I am bad. Do you know what it sounds like to me? Sour grapes. No, 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 don't look over there. There is nothing over there. Look at me, look at me, look at me. I've got stuff you wouldn't believe. Danger, sex, action, death, thrills, comedy, all here, all in the next 8 minutes. You can believe it. You can't believe it. It's unbelievable. You can't believe it because it's unbelievable. It's a miracle. Just keep looking at me. Just keep looking at me. Look at me, look at me, look at me, look at me.
Yeah, whatever you do, don't look away, look at the TV and keep looking at it, and the elites will have successfully brainwashed you into not only buying things to fill their pockets with your cash, but to program you and reprogram into believing, behaving, acting, and thinking whatever they want us to. This is what television is really all about. Then to make matters worse, this television technology not only is being used by these elites as the biggest global brainwashing tool ever invented in the history of mankind, to go along with their nefarious agenda, but it also, believe it or not, puts the viewer into a highly suggestible, even hypnotic state in order to make sure we ingest their daily programming straight into our brains without any resistance. Don't believe me? Check this fact out.
A junkie is hypnotized with his fix. At the same time as television inhibits cognitive growth, research shows that children habituate to repetitive light stimuli, flickering light, dot patterns, limited eye movement. When habituation occurs, then the brain decides that there is nothing of interest going on, at least nothing that can be done about, and virtually quits processing information. In particular, the left brain common internegative area goes into a kind of holding pattern, and television viewing reaches the level of somnambulism, similar to being hypnotized.
There you have it. Secular researchers admit it. There's no conspiracy theory here. TV is simply not only brainwashing us with its daily programming in an addictive manner so we can't shut the daily programming off, but it's also putting us into a hypnotic state to make sure we believe and obey the messages by purposely embedding it into our brains without any resistance. But if you need more proof, here you go. Watch this.
Little light. If you ever experienced a mind fog after watching television, you are not alone. The brain has four modes that it operates in. Four brainwave patterns. Delta is when you are deep asleep, theta is when you are in light sleep. Alpha is when awake but relaxed, it's the mode of thinking that you are in when you're in the most heightened state of suggestibility. And then there is beta, the highest functioning mode, like when you are reading a book, or you are having a very stimulating conversation. In 1969, Herbert Krugman did a study where he found that in less than 60 seconds the human brain switched from beta brainwave patterns, those exhibited during logical thought, to alpha brainwave patterns. Alpha's not a bad brainwave pattern to be in, but when you're in that brainwave pattern a lot of the time, and if you look at the averages of how much people are watching television, this just leaves the mind unfocused and unable to concentrate. Researchers have said that watching television is similar to staring at a blank wall for several hours. Robert Kuby, director, Center Media Studies, Rutgers University, did a study which appeared in Scientific America in 2002. Robert Kuby. Looking at how people experience television in the flow of their everyday life, and we used a beeper technology where we would beep people at intervals and they would write down what they were doing, how they were feeling, and so on. I was able to look at this stuff and I was able to show and demonstrate, like, what kinds of days people experience when they would watch more at night, and the answer to that was, they felt not very good at work. They had a really bad day at work. I found that people who didn't have a good tolerance for what I call unstructured time watched more TV. And I would say this is probably true for use of the internet too. If you don't feel comfortable with yourself and you need to fill up that time when you are by yourself and you don't have anything else to do, then what are you going to do? Well, you are going to gravitate to the easiest, most inexpensive medium that was ever invented, which is virtually free television. And fill up your mind with something else. So, it's kind of a form of escapism. Little light. The effects of television on the mind are probably one of the most studied aspects of our society, and one of the things that takes place in the mind is that the frontal lobe is being bypassed. Within minutes of sitting down and watching television, the frontal lobe activity simply goes almost to nothing. Dr. Neil Nedley, owner of Nedley Clinic and Nedley Health Solutions. The frontal lobe of the brain is the seat of spirituality, morality, and the will. It's actually the analytical portion of our brain, and it's actually the decision maker. So, it's a crucial aspect in regard to our future success and happiness. It's how well our frontal lobe is functioning. And unfortunately, entertainment television suppresses the frontal lobe of the brain. Actually, in about 90 seconds of viewing it, the frontal lobe circulation begins to go down, and it actually has an adverse effect. You know, the interesting thing is that people watch entertainment television often due to the fact that they feel a little depressed or anxious and it kind of calms them, but in reality, it is a very short-term fix and it's going to complicate things in the long run. Of course, I'm most known for the one who treats depression and anxiety. In fact, we treat the most severe forms of depression and anxiety, and what we have found is virtually every depressed patient will have about a 40% decrease in circulation and activity of the frontal lobe of the brain. So, we are trying to enhance the frontal lobe. Unfortunately, a lot of these gadgets that produce this overstimulation that can be fun for the short term, but you know, there are more fun things to do than ever before in human history, but yet we have more depression than ever before in human history. More anxiety, more mental health problems are skyrocketing throughout the world, and the entertainment medium is one of the primary reasons why this is occurring. Studies will clearly demonstrate that when you go to entertainment in a way to either get fun and it becomes a habitual process, the risk of depression and anxiety will more than double. Little light. So we decided to drive down to Los Angeles and talk to a top neurologist and find out really what's happening with the frontal lobe when we watch television. Dr. Mario Mendez, behavioral neurologist, UCLA Veterans Hospital. Well, each hemisphere has a prefrontal cortex, and it is, depending on how you measure it, 30-33% of the human neocortex. It has many functions which are often discussed in terms of cognition as executive abilities. I like to summarize it by having a role that you'd expect from a chief executive officer of a corporation: making strategic decisions, monitoring the performance of those activities, making corrections on route, and so on. It's also a source of social behavior. It turns out that humans are particularly visual animals. A lot of the information that is required for relating to the environment is visual, and so a lot of the posterior part of the neocortex is devoted to complex visual processing beyond the primary visual cortex. I think of it as a gradual reconstruction. What you see is not necessarily a carbon copy of reality. What you see is a gradual coding and reconstruction of the signal in neurologic terms, and in that process a lot of interpretation goes on. Little light. Dr. Mendez says the frontal lobe is like our command center. It's like where we make all these executed decision-making processes that our perception of reality is based upon, what we basically take in through our visual cortex. Now, question. Could you change someone's reality based on what you give them visually to watch? Dr. Michael Rich is a media expert from Boston's Children's Hospital, wrote an article about what happens in your brain when you sit down and you watch a 3D movie. Dr. Michael Rich. So what does your brain do when you're sitting in a theater, looking at a giant screen, wearing 3D glasses, swimming in surround sound, and processing the 24 images that flip by per second? Your brain dutifully processes those stimuli, and does little else. In fact, your prefrontal cortex, which is involved in impulse control, future thinking, and moral choices, is basically inactivated in this process. That's part of why you get lost in the movie. Little light. Also, researcher Jacob Jacoby found, after testing 5,400 viewings, that 83% of those viewers misunderstood or miscomprehended that which they watched only moments before. That's what happens when the prefrontal cortex or the frontal lobe is shut off. Dr. Neil Nedley. You know, one of the interesting things about educational TV, you know, for instance, C-SPAN is educational TV. It may not be the greatest education, but it's one camera view and there's a senator up there giving a talk and giving a lecture, and you'll see something happen when you're in a room. You know, I, being a doctor, there's a doctor's lounge at the hospital on that, and often doctors look for educational TV when they're there together, and you will see them stand up and begin to humanly argue against the television set. Because they'll say, you know what? He left this out, he left that out. He's not mentioning this. This is a very biased presentation. You will never see anyone argue with their television set when entertainment television is going on. You will see them actually just sitting there accepting all this, maybe laughing or crying, but they're not going to argue with the set because they don't have the ability. They may humanly disagree with what's going on that program, but they have no ability to actually bring forward that disagreement and start to logically go through the arguments in their mind because of the suppression of the frontal lobe of their brain.
In other words, you won't and can't even disagree with whatever information and stimuli and programming is coming your way. Again, you wonder why they call it TV programming? Again, that's exactly what these elites are doing with it. They're programming your mind to go along with their nefarious agenda. To believe, act, buy, behave, think whatever they want. Television has simply the biggest global electronic brainwashing tool in the history of mankind, and we pay for it. No conspiracy theory here, it's demonstrated fact as you just saw. Again, as this person said.
The question more and more concerning parents, psychologists, and public officials is this: what is all this viewing doing to them?
Gee, I'll tell you based on the facts. It's brainwashing us to obey, consume, buy, reproduce whatever these aliens, I mean rich elites, want us to. So, now knowing what we just saw about television, let's take a look again at that scene and see how every single aspect depicted in it really is going on. Check it out.
Clip from They Live. The guy walking down the street puts his glasses back on to see what the signs are telling the public without their knowing it.
The big sign says, obey. He takes them off and on a couple of times to make sure he is seeing this correctly. He then looks at a sign advertising Come to the Caribbean, but when he puts on the glasses, the sign is actually saying marry and reproduce. He continues to walk down the street when he comes to a men's store. The sign on the store says Armani, but when he puts on the glasses it says no independent thought, and the sign in the window says consume, not close out sale. When he puts the glasses back on and looks down the busy street, he sees the sign telling people subconsciously to buy, watch TV, submit, consume, obey, conform, work 8 hours, no thought, and more. He walks a little farther down the street and comes to the magazine stand, and with the glasses on he can see that all these magazines also have the words on them as well. Even when he opens a magazine, he finds it's all printed out in there too. The place is saturated with all the words that can't be seen with the human eye without the special glasses he found.
Then he has the experience of seeing the man in a grey suit come up to buy a magazine, and when he puts on the glasses this man looks like an alien. He can't help but stare at this strange person.
The alien asks him, "What's your problem?" He asks him twice, but it doesn't seem that the human can speak. He is stunned that he can see this alien and doesn't say a word. The alien turns to pay for the magazine and then gets into his car and leaves. The clerk comes over to him and asks if he wants to pay for the magazine he is holding.
The clerk is holding money in this hand. With the glasses on, the words "This is your God" is printed on the money.
He says, "Look, buddy, I don't want no hassle today, either pay for it or put it back."
He puts it back and continues to walk down the street.
He passes a beauty salon and sees that there are aliens in there too.
They are all over the place. And they are reading the magazines that have all those words on them in big letters. Not the regular articles.
His next stop is a little grocery store.
As he walks in, he sees half the people in there are aliens. With the glasses off, all these aliens looked like regular humans carrying on normal conversations.
He hears a voice coming from the TV saying, "It's a new morning, fresh, vital, the old way is gone, we have faith in our leaders, we're optimistic of what becomes of it all boils down to our ability to accept, we don't need pessimism." This broadcaster is also an alien and the big letters behind him spell out Obey.
Yeah, sure thing, Mr. Alien, I mean rich elite who is using the whole global media system to mesmerize the minds of the masses. I'll say it again. Looks like that science fiction movie has really become our everyday reality. How true it is and how clearer it gets the more forms of media we take a look at. Every one of them is being used against us on a massive global scale. But unfortunately, that's still not all. This subliminal hypnotic addictive form of global media called television is not only being used to control the narrative of all information we're receiving around the whole planet to mesmerize the minds of the masses for these aliens, I mean rich elites' nefarious purposes, but it's also simultaneously creating the immoral and scoffing society that God warned about would also come upon the scene when you're living in the last days. So, let's take a look at that unfortunate proof, starting with the immoral aspect. Is television really being used by these aliens, I mean rich elites, to encourage people to act ever increasingly immoral in the last days? You be the judge. Here's just a small sampling of what they're putting into our brains.
This clip opens with four family members sitting on a sofa all dressed in white. They are watching TV and eating popcorn. The movie they are watching is Gone with the Wind, and they are watching the scene where Clark Gable says, "Frankly, my dear, I don't give a damn." But just as he says that word, the boy on the couch gets hit with a blob of red paint. What is happening is that every time a bad word is expressed on TV, they are hit with a blob of paint from a paint gun. Gone with the Wind had the first swear word in cinema history in 1939. In 2013, The Wolf of Wall Street had the most swear words in cinema history. F-words. 528. Blasphemy. 70. Other language. 200. Sex/nudity. 27. Graphic violence. 3. The family on the couch get black bags put over their heads because it might get a little dangerous when the movie begins. The guns are all lined up to begin shooting. For every bad word or bad thing that happens, they are shot with a blob of paint. Hundreds of shots are hitting them. Dishes are breaking, popcorn is flying, pictures are being blasted, and it keeps coming. They are getting covered with all the paint. Finally, it is over, but every word has impact. Protect yourself and your family is the message. Next clip. Deep in the center of the American suburbs was a 15-year-old girl named Jenny. By all appearances, she is an average, healthy high school student, but at the heart of her tragic story, we find circumstances that are widespread across her peer group around the country. Jenny awakens every morning in her room, alone, with only a twin-sized bed. Her request to her parents of a larger, newer, bed continue to fall on deaf ears. Even her cry for bed linens with a higher thread count continue to go unanswered. In rural southern Africa, Annie lives with her grandmother and her two little sisters in a one-room hut that has been badly damaged by storms. She sleeps on a grass mat on a hard dirt floor. There is only one blanket for everyone to share. Sadly, teenagers like Jenny only have an average of $267 to spend per month. That is a little more than $65 for an entire week. At breakfast, Jenny usually has to fight with her siblings to get the last Pop-Tart in the pantry. On the day she loses the battle, she is forced to eat cereal and fresh fruit. The drive to school every day creates another clash with the siblings for the coveted location in the car known as Shotgun in the front passenger seat. Even when Jenny is victorious, she finds herself cold at the leather seats of her family's BMW lack seat warmers. To make matters worse, Jenny's mother makes frequent attempts at carrying on an actual conversation with her daughter, unleashing a barrage of small talk upon Jenny from the driver's seat. Annie and her brothers work in the fields to help their grandmother grow corn for their meals. However, their country is suffering from a poor year's drought, and this year's crop will not yield enough food to carry them through the year. In Jenny's closet, she suffers a serious lack of brand names sewn into her dozens of shirts, jeans, and dresses. Shockingly, she was even made to choose just one purse from Fendi, Gucci, and Louis Vuitton at the mall. Annie and her sisters have two dresses each, and none of their clothes fit them well. They have holes and are threadbare in some places. After a long day of working in the field, the girls spend their time helping their grandmother repair their dilapidated hut or digging holes in the dry riverbed in search of water. Finding herself in another no-win situation, Jenny does her best to remain brave while choosing between tap water and wholesale bottled water to wet her parched mouth. When Annie and her sisters do find water in the riverbed, it's usually dirty from cows, donkeys, and other animals drinking from the same water hole. There are also countless bacteria and other organisms in the water that could make them very sick. Don't become a victim of teenage affluenza. You only have one life, do something. Next clip. And the Spirit lifted me up between the earth and the sky and brought me the vision of God to Jerusalem to the north gate of the temple. Then the Lord brought me to the entry of the courtyard, and when I looked, I saw holes in the wall. Now dig into the wall, he said. I did and uncovered a door to a hidden room. Then the Lord said to me, go on in and see the terrible and evil things they are doing. So, I entered and looked, and the walls were covered with pictures of all kinds of demonic and evil things. All the various idols that were worshipped by the people of the land. There they were standing before the images, fixing their minds on them and lifting up their hearts to the things they worshipped, creating a thick dark cloud above their heads. Then the Lord said to me, son of man, do you see what the people of the land are doing in the dark? Each man with his idols? And they say, the Lord does not see us, he is gone away. Ezekiel 8:3-7-12.
Oh, he has not gone away, and he does see what we are putting into our brains. And he also warned about the side effects. Junk in equals junk out. You ingest hours and hours on end of immoral content on TV, you're going to act like it. You're going to become an immoral society. How many times have you heard people say, why are people acting so immoral these days? Why is it on the rise? Why is it getting worse and worse? Well, you just saw one of the biggest reasons why. It's television. And if you need even more proof, add to what you just saw, these sobering statistics.
The average American adolescent will view nearly 14,000 sexual references on TV per year. 75% of primetime network shows included sexual content, up 67% in 1 year alone. Nearly one-third of family hour shows contain sexual references. Now they're offering full-blown nudity shows. 7 shows right now are being rolled out that feature complete nudity. Not just showing nudity here and there, that's bad enough. It's complete full-blown nudity all the time. MTV has a couple of new shows coming out. One is called Virgin Territory, where participants are trying to lose their virginity, or what they call V-card. Another show is called Happyland, where they're a teen storyline that promotes incest. And the lead person playing the girl in the show said, incest is hot, and we're going to have fun, on TV. Now they're airing commercials on TV promoting adultery. CNN Prime News, marriage is hard enough, and we certainly don't need TV commercials to try to get us to cheat on our spouse. But they are out there. In-your-face ads that even your kids can see them. Take a look. A Fair Moments by Ashley Madison. There is a couple walking down the sidewalk, over his head the word, him, and over her head on a business trip. The next couple that is shown has over her head, her, and over his head, with his best friend. Another couple that looks like could be in a church, over his head, him, and over hers, with a work colleague. Several other couples are shown cheating with the opposite friends, co-workers, neighbors, being advertised online with almost 9 million members. Isn't it time for AshleyMadison.com? Life is short. Have an affair, music is playing and someone comes on singing, I'm looking for something new, something for myself, something that I've got to do. I can't wait to decide. There's nothing that I haven't tried. SHHH. Ashley Madison. During the song, a man pulls up in his car and picks up a girl on the side of the road, and they drive to a hotel. Life is short, have an affair, CNN Prime News. Life is short, have an affair. That's the tagline for AshleyMadison.com. An online dating service for married people advocating adultery. The average American child or teenager views 10,000 murders, rapes, and aggravated assaults per year on television. 80.3% of all television programs contain acts of violence. A child born today will witness 200,000 acts of violence on television by the time they are 18. I'll repeat what the one researcher said. The question more and more concerning parents, psychologists, and public officials is this: what is all this viewing doing to them? I'll tell you. It's causing the massive increase in immoral behavior that we're seeing today that God warned about would come on the scene when you're living in the last days. But that's only half of it. These same aliens, I mean rich elites, are also using the media of television to create the biggest scoffing society in the history of mankind against God, Jesus, the Bible, and Christianity. See if you agree. Watch this scoffing evidence, narrator, the two Christian film offices that had been active in providing moral guidelines for the entertainment industry for over 30 years were shut down as well. New ideas and a new breed of people began to take their place. Among them was Anton Zander Levy. Anton Levy, "We believe in greed, we believe in selfishness, and all of the lustful thoughts that motivate man because this is." Narrator, after opening up his Church of Satan in San Francisco, Levy began to advise filmmakers involving matters of the occult. Levy's satanic beliefs makes his observations about the film industry's new attitude towards Jesus very interesting. The satanic age began about the year 1966, and now we are beginning to see in Jesus Christ, superstar and Godspell Jesus as fallible, no different from any other man, which was originally what Satan was supposed to represent. Sherry and Brad Steiger, Hollywood and the Supernatural, St. Martin's Press, 1990, p.13. Levy proved to be far more discerning than the multitude of church-going people brought into the dumbing down of the Messiah. Clip from Fletch, Universal Pictures, hashtag bleep beep hashtag on a popsicle stick, The Favor, The Watch and The Very Big Fish, Films Arian / Umbrella Films, Ltd., show Jesus hanging on an upside-down cross. Sam Kinison, Band Giant Records, The Dream Team, Universal Pictures, This is the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ being said by a man sitting in a chair holding up a liquor bottle. The Crow, Dimension Films / Miramax, Jesus Christ walks into a hotel, gave the innkeeper 3 nails, can you put me up for the night? When asked about her venomous hatred of Christ in the Ken Russell film Lair of the White Worm, Donahoe replied, I am an atheist, so it was actually a joy. Spitting on Christ was a great deal fun. Interview, September 1991, p. 109, from cartoons like Beavis and Butthead, MTV / Viacom to comics, Robin Williams, Paramount, The Devil is God When He is Drunk. Kids in the Hall, CBS, God Did Exist, He Died, He Was Very Small, Mystery Solved. Mosquito Coast, Warner Brothers, Whether It Is Showing Contempt for Scriptures. The Bible is tossed in the air, and the person throwing it says, just what I have been warning you about. Roseanne, ABC, poking fun at going to church. Daughter, it's even worse than you thought. Dad, well, what could be worse? He's not doing drugs, is he? Daughter, no, no, he's going to church. Dad, oh God, no. Picket Fences, CBS, child, I'm off to church. Brother, he's whacked. The Simpsons, Fox Broadcasting Company, you want to say grace? Son, dear God, we pay for all this stuff ourselves, so thanks for nothing. Dances with Wolves, Orion Pictures, with the pagan practices of the American Indians, they are treated with loving respect. Little Buddha, Miramax Films, Eastern religions bask in the warm fuzzies of spiritual awe, out on a limb, ABC Video Enterprises, even the occult is given the benefit of the doubt. Shirley MacLaine, he said the divine force is what the soul is made of. Handmaid's Tale, Cinecom Entertainment Group, while the Christian faith of untold millions is portrayed as a potential breeding ground for neo-Nazis, public executions, and a religion-induced madness that can lead to everything from mob violence to a mother's willingness to kill her child. The Rapture, New Line Cinema, Mother, do you love God? Daughter, yes. Mother, pray baby. All too often this is the gospel of Hollywood. The third of the Ten Commandments, given to us by God, warns that we should treat even the mention of His name with great awe and respect, never using it in a casual or disrespectful way. The Old Testament saints took this command very seriously, insisting that scribes wash their hands and use a new pen when even writing the name of God. Many of the Jews were even afraid to say it out loud in any circumstance, choosing to use it indirectly as the name. Contrast that to our day, to a time that God has an incomprehensible grace and mercy has chosen to reveal Himself in Christ as Emmanuel, God with us. The true name of the Lord our God, the only name under heaven given to men by which we may be saved. Acts 4:12 God's name is degraded, blasphemed, and reduced to a cheap expletive device by so many in the entertainment industry that wonders if it isn't a default key on their word processor. Sometimes a great notion by Ken Kesey and the Academy Award-winning One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, fantasy films / HBO provided perhaps the best summation of the pride and irreverence that characterizes so much of today's art and entertainment. The job of the artist is to say, F-sharp hashtag hashtag you, God. F-sharp hashtag hashtag you and the Old Testament you wrote in on. Esquire, September 1992, p. 210.
And you still don't think that television is being used to encourage people to scoff at the things of God? Even the industry leaders admit it, when they're being honest, as brutal as it is. Again, this is no conspiracy. It's really what's going on and going inside your brain every time you turn on that manipulative device called TV. It reminds me of the following acronym one person emailed me. Media.
M-E-D-I-A.
M, most. E, effective. D, devil. I, in. A, America. Not to mention, around the world. In fact, by now, it probably feels like you're getting beat up, literally, with all these shocking revelations, one after another, of how everything you read, hear and see today really is a massive global subliminal seduction by aliens, I mean rich elites, to control and manipulate you. And I'm sorry we've had to punch you in the gut several times with all this information, but it really is for your own good, like this scene portrays.
As the main character, MC, walks down the street, he looks down an alley and sees a bald man in a blue sweatshirt standing in front of a dumpster. The man turns to go in the opposite direction and the MC calls out to him to wait. As the man turns around, he yells out, "You better find yourself somewhere to hide and keep praying that nobody ever finds you." He holds out the glasses that he found and tells the guy at the dumpster, "Here, try these on." In response, the bald guy says, "Stay away from me." But the MC walks towards him holding out the glasses for the bald guy to see what he had found and what they were showing him. He says, "I'm telling you, you don't." Before he could finish his sentence, the bald guy punches him in the nose. Now he is bleeding. He composes himself and tries to warn this guy, "I am trying to save you and your family's life." The bald guy responds, "You couldn't even save your own." Then the MC walks up to him and punches him in the nose. He says, "I'm giving you a choice, either put on these glasses or start eating that trash can." The bald guy responds, "Not this year." The MC says, "Okay." As they start to fight in the alley, it seems the bald guy knows what he is doing. He gets in 3 or 4 punches before the MC can get in one and he finds himself laid out on the ground. He stands back up and as he has new energy to fight back. The bald guy is on the ground this time and is starting to get up when the MC is telling him, "I don't want to fight you." But that doesn't stop the guy from charging at him again. They are running out of steam when the MC finally knocks the bald guy to the ground. He is having trouble getting up when the MC gives him a hand, pulls him to his feet, and then hands him the glasses and he says, "Put them on." At that point, the bald guy throws the glasses to the ground, raises his foot and is about to smash them to pieces when the MC yells, "No." He pushes the bald guy back, so the glasses wouldn't get smashed, but again the bald guy knocks him down again. He picks up the glasses and throws them against the wall and starts to walk off again. The MC gets back on his feet and starts to run after the bald guy and pulls him to the ground one more time. The fighting doesn't stop. They are about to kill each other. When they get to a point where they are both laid out in the alley, the MC manages to get up, pick up the glasses, and put them on the bald guy, making him stand up and look out at the street. The bald guy sees these aliens are all over the place. The MC says, "Look, look at them, they are everywhere. Now hold on. You're not the first one to wake up out of their dream."
And now you are. Because that's what we're trying to do for you with this documentary. And I know it's tough, trying to take in all this information exposing how these aliens, I mean rich elites, really are mesmerizing the minds of the masses on a global scale using all these various forms of media we've been looking at. But don't take the glasses off now. And certainly don't pass out from all these punches we've been throwing your way. We are almost there, hang in there, Keep them on because we've only got one more to go. But as you can see, it's the same pattern with all these different forms of media. They are all being used to control the narrative and to manipulate the minds of the masses for the elite's own nefarious purposes, and it's going on all over the world, whether you realize it or not. Including, once again, the desire to manipulate the attitudes of people, specifically against God and Christianity, so they will scoff at Him on a global basis and create an increase of wickedness in people's behavior like the Bible warned about in the coming last days. Total manipulation of the minds of the masses, across the whole planet, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, just by simply owning the media called newspapers, radio, music, books, the education system, and now even television. Right now, as we speak, the whole planet is being bombarded by all six and there's no escaping it. But unfortunately, it's still going to get worse. These aliens, I mean rich elites, are not merely content with just owning all the newspapers and radio broadcasts and music industry and books and education system and television outlets around the whole world to control the minds of the masses. In their insatiable lust for power and domination, they are literally out there amassing all forms of media in order to get the job done. Including the latest one they've invented to further manipulate us. Of course, I'm talking about social media. Believe it or not, that too is being used by the aliens, I mean rich elites, to indoctrinate the minds of people into what they want them to think, act, believe, or do, which will be the topic of our next section. And as we will soon see, social media is also telling us to not think for ourselves, to obey only what they want us to obey, to never question them, and of course, to scoff specifically at the Bible, God, Jesus, and His soon coming judgment. Where have I heard that before? I know it's hard to believe, but once again, hang in there for one more round of punches, keep those glasses on, and let's begin this final journey and expose how this next form of media is also mesmerizing the minds of the masses.